This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, it's Friday, which means it's another episode of Good Things, the show where we talk to good people who are doing good things. I'm Dashran Johan, and on the show with me today is Nathaniel Tan, who's one of the drivers behind Project Bangsa Malaysia, which is an initiative which seeks to unite and empower Malaysians. And they believe that Malaysians have the capability and the capacity to build a better nation independent of politics. Welcome to the show, Nat. How are you doing today?
Doing great, boss. Thanks very much.
All right. Let's get right into it. Tell me about Project Bangsa Malaysia. It's very fascinating when I came across it. I'm really curious to know what you have to say.
Actually, you said it really well. I mean, you said bring people together, try to unite and empower Malaysians. I've never put it that way before, but I think that's a very, very succinct summary of what we're trying to do. You know, I think for a long time, Malaysia has been led down the wrong path. I think we've been divided a lot purposely by politicians for their own gain. We've fallen really short of our potential. So the longer term goals of Project Bangsa Malaysia are to reverse this trend. You know, one of our core beliefs is that there's more that unites us than divides us. And we've had decades of people working really hard to divide us, and it's made us weak as a society in many ways. But I think our potential is so much more. We can do so much more. We can be so much more together. So, you know, the essence of Project Bangsa Malaysia, again, is to bring people together to make a better nation. To be, you know, a lot of people, when it comes to trying to make change in Malaysia, they usually find themselves with two options. Either you join an NGO or you join a political organization. Mm-hmm. POO is what I call it. So we're trying to do something a little bit different, a third way. We're looking at a nation-building organization. That's how we think of ourselves.
Right. So, you know, we've heard this term Bangsa Malaysia very frequently throughout the years, right? Despite the politicians trying to divide us, they use the Bangsa Malaysia campaign in tourism videos, things like that. It's been something that has been, you know, championed in a certain way for many, many, many years. But what does the term Bangsa Malaysia mean to you?
Yeah, you know, ironically enough, one of the first people to really talk about it in a big way is Tun Mahathir himself. Wawasan 2020. Again, ironic because I think he's one of the people who've done the most to block the formation of a Bangsa Malaysia. It's a good question because people don't really know. We don't know. You know, there's no clear idea of what Bangsa Malaysia means. And I think that this isn't a coincidence. I think there's no clear idea because it's not been in the interest of all our governments over, again, 60 years to really build this kind of nation. Even again in 2018, when Pakatan Harapan took over and everyone is talking about new Malaysia, and this is a perfect opportunity to kind of redefine our nation and make it more coherent and cohesive. But again, this was, I think the Prime Minister at the time had no real interest in doing this. You know, his vision of Malaysia is really just Melayu, China, India, keep separate in your separate lanes. You know, that's the only kind of Malaysia that he could imagine. But I think the rest of us, we can imagine a much better Malaysia, a much more united Malaysia, a Malaysia where we have a sense of shared purpose. Now, one of our, so I sometimes summarize Project Bangsa Malaysia's goal as trying to replace a political culture of very important people. It's all about VIPs, feudalistic and individual centric, to a democratic culture of values, impact, and policies. Right. So this is the VIPs that we want. Right. And in terms of values, this is how we divide our work. Okay. And our work on values is a lot about definition. It's no point if I or you or any government or prime minister tries and tells us what Bangsa Malaysia is. It's only a meaningful definition if we get a definition that's from the bottom up. So one of our big projects is, you know, we're trying to do something like we call Rukun Bangsa Malaysia, where we get as much input from as many people on the ground, as many diverse communities, Perlis to Johor, Penang to Sarawak to Sabah, to find out what do people think Bangsa Malaysia is. And then if it's true that's more that unites us than divides us, what are the things that unites us? So that's what we're trying to do, trying to get, that kind of input.
And what inspired you to focus on this particular narrative or cause?
If I had to summarize it, I would say wasted potential, truly wasted potential. You know, it's heart-wrenching, you know, so deeply frustrating to see how many good Malaysians there are, how much our nation could do, and see that all being wasted away because of poor leadership. It's insane. I mean, I really think this is, we have some of the smartest people in the world. We have some of the kindest people in the world. More importantly, you know, we have some of the most driven people in the world. This nation could be, you know, we could be competing at the you know, at the very top. Mm-hmm. Right? So why is it not happening? You know, so it's you know, there, I mean, there's a very long answers to exactly why, but I think failed leadership, like, is definitely and failed leadership and an overdependence on the political system. You know, we've been fooled into believing that only politicians can solve our problems, only politicians can solve can lead us. You know, that we need to rely on them to show the way. You know, so that to me, that's all nonsense. Right? We can show the way ourselves. You know, we believe in DIY democracy and do it yourself. You know, so if they are not doing it, then we will do it. We don't have to wait. We don't have to be an elected official to lead change. We don't have to be in government to lead change. We can lead change ourselves from the bottom up.
A common argument we always hear is that we live in democracy, which means people do have the power to decide. Right. That's how democracy works. Like you say, you don't want to rely on these MPs. But the argument we hear is that, you know, we choose them and then they will do what we want, you know, what the people want for the betterment of the country. But the events of Lanka Sheraton, you know, etc., over the past year especially, have showed us exactly the opposite. Right. So, you know, that politicians can do things independent of what the people want. So is it the system that's broken, or do people not realize the power that they possess because they're not politically conscious or engaged?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. But I definitely never blame the rakyat as a matter of policy. You know, you mentioned the Sheraton move, and you know what we're realizing is that the Sheraton move is not over, by the way. Mm-hmm. this what started there is still an ongoing crisis. But you know, I think a lot about democracy, right? And I study democracy a little bit. This is not a problem that's unique to Malaysia, but it's very, very evident in Malaysia. The whole political system is dysfunctional, deeply, deeply dysfunctional. And this is happening all over the world. You know, basically, we are fooled into thinking that because we can vote leaders in and out, that means we are democratic. We have power. You know, that's one vote in 5 years, you know, one pankah in one box in like between three or four boxes, that's not democracy, you know. It just really isn't. But you know, that's how elites, how politicians, how rich people want us to think about democracy. Because if that's what we limit our democratic agency to, it makes it very easy to just do whatever they want. Right? So they think that, and we have been conditioned to think like that. We're conditioned to think like, oh, once I vote for them, then I just have to sit back for 5 years and hope for the best, cross my fingers. That's absolute nonsense. You know, there's a lot more role that we can play in society. You know, it is true that, you know, the more and more decision-making power has been taken away from us. But there's a lot that we can do to take the decision-making power back. There's a lot, you know, so what we've been doing on the projects in Project Bangsa Malaysia has been a lot about doing the things, making the change that we can make without having to rely on anyone else. There are a few things that only a government can do legally and so on, but there's so much untapped areas of work, you know, that we can do if we get our act together and if we start to believe in our own ability and agency. And so this is what we've been trying to do in the work that we've been doing.
Okay, so let's talk about that, because I think we, oftentimes as the people, we don't know what is our capability. We genuinely think that our role is, you know, like you said, every 5 years, we vote for whatever the good guy is, you know, in our brains, in our minds at that time, and hope that, you know, that will solve all the problems. Like, it's the same thing with GE14, you know, the people voted for change and then they thought, okay, that's it. So when you say Malaysians actually have the capability to build a better nation independent of these elite politicians, what exactly do you mean?
So it's a little bit like this, Adesh. Yeah. I don't think it's like a physics formula that you don't know. It's not like we don't know how to kind of create change ourselves. I think we're conditioned to think a certain way, right? And we're conditioned to think that we can't do things, and we're so used to being divided. We're so used to, like, you know, fighting over small things and feeling like, you know, other people are very different and we can't come together. But I think, again, this is a myth. You know, when you talk about ability to change, right? You know, this is a lot about, all we need is a bit of imagination and a bit of faith. Really, I think it comes down to faith, that you have to believe in your fellow Malaysians, you know, and you have to have a bit of persistence, you know. you just have to... It, I think the one thing we've learned doing this kind of work in Project Bangsa Malaysia is that if you just keep moving, right? If you just keep moving and you believe that it can be done, you know, it can be done. You just need the right formula and the right energy, you know. And this is, you know, I'm very grateful to my team in Project Bangsa Malaysia. They've shown this, you know, really young people. They've shown excellent energy. And together we've been able to do really impressive things. Nothing impressive about me or what I do, but the what happens when you really come together and believe that, hey, we can effect change. We have it in us to do what we need to do and to do things and to succeed where politicians have failed. That belief, right, can take you a really, really long way. Yeah. Hmm.
And this reminds me, right, a little bit of something you said, you know, recently on a panel on Astro Awani. If I remember correctly, you said something along the lines of, you know, people think that politicians are the ones with the power and they dictate what happens with our lives. But if people realize they have the power, they come together and they demand for it as a unit, like politicians will have no choice but to give us what we want, or they will risk their own political careers. What do you mean by this?
Honestly, I don't really think that much about what politicians should give us or can give us. You know, that to me is not important. You know, I talked a lot about sort of the theory of this or this in general. Maybe if it's okay, I'll discuss some of the specifics.
Yes,
right?
Please.
So again, you know, when it comes to the COVID crisis, right? So there are a lot of people suffering. You know, a lot of people who are out of work, whose bank accounts are running dry. And, you know, this is so helping these kind of people, this is the job of the government, the job of politicians.
That's right. Right.
Some of them do a little bit, you know, but most of them don't do nearly enough, especially at the policy level, right? So when there is this gap, what happens is that people come in to fill this gap, right? This is what the white flag campaign is all about, right? Some people, you know, Malaysians are some of the kindest people I know. When they see people suffering, when they see people in need, they answer the call. They come up and do things to help people, set up food banks. People, you know, go out of their way to find white flags to help people, develop apps so that other people can find white flags to help. You know, this is the spirit. Again, this is do it yourself. Right. So again, this is an example of people not needing to wait. You know, so we're hearing a lot of another example, right? We're hearing a lot of problems with frontliners that I had in the Klang Valley, especially.
That's right.
Right? And the worst of all, you know, we're hearing that, you know, the authorities, the administrators are telling them, don't speak to the press, don't tell the truth of what's going on, don't speak without permission, which is absolute nonsense. You know, we're talking about the biggest Malaysian heroes we have, the ones who are suffering and working the hardest to save us and keep us safe. And all we can tell them is like, don't talk, right? So what we did, you know, in Project Bangsa Malaysia last Friday night, we had an anonymous Zoom call, right?
Where
we invited some of these frontliners to protect their identities, and we asked them to tell us what's going on. Then on Monday, we released an edited video of this, and like, you know, by now it's getting, the views are into the millions, you know, and this is not because of anything that we did, but because the content is so important.
How did that go, and what did y'all learn from it?
It's a horrible, horrifying situation. You know, basically, again, I talked about the ship sinking, right? There's a point at which, you know, a ship takes on a certain amount of water, you can still save it, but after a certain point, you can't save the ship anymore. Yeah. And we're getting there. So basically, you know, if we get to the point where the health system is so overwhelmed, and, you know, they're having to cut corners on COVID prevention systems, right? Basically, you're going to get frontliners who are infected by COVID, right? And if more and more frontliners are lost to COVID, the whole entire system, health system will collapse. You know, again, this is sort of like a red alert. Alarm bell should be blaring everywhere, right? And instead, we have, you know, the Prime Minister made a visit to hospital. Suddenly, all the problems look like they have disappeared. The problems didn't get solved. They just disappeared. You know, it's a cosmetic change. You know, so we, on the session, you know, people talked about, you know, running out of oxygen, you know, running out of beds, CPR on the floor, having to make life and death decisions, having to choose who lives and who would die. If they had enough support, both people can live. But because there is not enough support, they have to choose. One person has to live and one person has to die. There's another doctor who talked about, you know, other non-COVID related cases, they can't perform life-saving surgeries for children, pediatric wards, because of the COVID situation. It's overwhelming the system, resources, space. Right? So how do you answer the parent of that child? What do you tell the child? What kind of situation is that? You know, and it's getting worse and worse, and nobody is doing anything about it. Right? So somebody needs to raise the alarm bells now. Not tomorrow, not next week. Now. Yeah. Right. So again, this is an example. If the government is doing something wrong, we look to correct what is happening. We don't have to wait. I'm not going to sit there and tell, hey, you should do this, you should let them speak. What's the point of doing that? There's no point in me yelling at the government. The government never listens to you. Politicians never listen to you. Just do it yourself. That's our philosophy.
And I think that's a fantastic philosophy. But how does that Because so here's where I'm still trying to get a little bit of clarity, right? Because the white flag campaign, like you brought up, is fantastic, right? It is a truly, you know, Malaysians taking it upon themselves to help their fellow peers, their friends, people in their neighborhood, the communities that surround them. But is that what we want? Because fundamentally, like, how long can people spend their own money? And for example, I'm just using this one thing as an example, and help, you know, communities and all. At the end of the day, don't we still want the government to move in a direction so that white flag campaigns don't even have to exist in the first place? And when we think of it that way, then don't we still need to involve politicians and policymakers who are politicians, you know, in our discussion?
I'll put it this way. First of all, you know, what I want is not just a different, not a different government, but a different type of government, right? And I can talk more about that later if you like. Yep. But in this question, of course, we're also having a big fundraiser tomorrow, Saturday, 11 a.m., right? It's going to be a long live stream, like a telethon, if people are old enough to remember what it is. And this is great work done by great people, our teams, right? But all this work, like you said, we're just kind of like lessening the bleeding. We're not stopping the wound. Right? So in terms of the fight against COVID, right? So again, using the same principle of not waiting for the government, what the government should have been doing all this while is listening to experts and concentrating on the science and making smart policies regardless of what people think. If we believe that the government should have been consulting experts and should have experts, public health experts, economic experts, writing out a detailed action policy plan for how to get out of COVID, if we believe that's what needs to be done, then we are going to organize it. So this is something, again, this is a project Bangsa Malaysia is driving. We are collecting a set of experts to draft this kind of plans, a solid, you know, actionable, action-oriented, clear set of rules and steps to what we should do in order to really stop this COVID crisis, which is really, you know, I think is at a state where alarm bells should be ringing and no alarm bells are ringing. And there's a point in time in which the ship, you can still prevent it from sinking, but after it takes on a certain amount of water, you can't stop it from sinking anymore, and we are fast reaching that point.
On the show with me today is Nathaniel Tan of Project Bangsa Malaysia. After the break, I'll be asking him what his initiative does to address these problems that we've been discussing throughout the show. We'll be back with more on Good Things, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Good Things. I'm Dashan Johan, and on the show with me today is Nathaniel Tan of Project Bangsa Malaysia. Now, Project Bangsa Malaysia is an initiative that believes that Malaysians have the capability to build a better nation independent of elite politics. So, Nat, Malaysia's political landscape, right? It's always dominated by career politicians. You know, we rarely see people from NGOs or just civil society, you know, who slowly garner grassroots support from the bottom. And then, you know, they join politics as sort of a natural progression of that support, you know, to make change. Is this a problem?
100%. You know, now we're going into political theory a little bit, but also it comes to the question of like who ends up in politics and what happens to them. Yeah. You know, a lot of people I worked with at the beginning of my, so to speak, career, right? I saw a lot of them go into politics. I saw a lot of them go into politics wanting to change politics. And of course, in the end, it's politics that changes them, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to understand politics as a ecosystem, as interest, you know, it's a set of incentive structures. I think of it as a toxic swamp, really. Mm-hmm. You know? And it's very embedded, right? A lot of it basically revolves around money. Yep. That's the biggest center of gravity that's in politics right now. And it basically corrupts souls. I think as Max Weber said, you can't go into politics and expect to keep your soul. I think there's a lot that we can talk about why the system is like that, why it's so feudal, you know, this toxic cycle of money politics. You know, it's like political parties have your president, night president and all that. All these roles are actually useless. You become a night president so that you become a minister. You become a minister so you can make money. You make money so you can bribe your party members to vote you back as the vice president. It's a ridiculous, pointless, totally pointless cycle. So the whole thing is wrong. And I don't think, you know, if people from the good people go into politics, I don't think it works, that kind of change. Well, that's not what we're looking to do.
Okay.
We want to try and redefine the whole thing entirely. So, you know, if you think about the question of like, who should lead our country? Who are the best Malaysians out there? If you ask me, most of the best of Malaysians out there are, you know, a lot of them were suitable for this kind of leadership roles, can be found in these civil society organizations, mm-hmm. these NGOs. You know, if you look at you know, NGOs like Project Bangsa Malaysia is a joint project between initiated jointly by ABIM, Angkatan Belia Islam Malaysia, and Power Project Wawasan Rakyat. And you know, I've worked very closely with these ABIM guys for a long time. And you know, some people say, "Oh, Islamists, they get a bit allergic and they're a bit afraid." But these are some of the best people I've met. You know, some of the best Malaysians I met with the cleanest hearts, with the most sincere intentions, sincere motivations. So you know, the question is, why aren't these the guys running the country? Why aren't people like this the ones running the country? I mean, there's a long, complex answer to that, which I can go into if you want. But basically, what we're trying to do is, you know, we're trying to redesign the system and we want to do a proof of concept. We want to show what it looks like if you have people like this becoming decision makers in the country. So all the projects that we're doing, we're trying to show what a government should be doing. You know, and we can do it. If we can do this much, even from the outside, what will people like that be able to do from the inside, right?
We do have time to get into some of the details, right? Because I think it's a important and fascinating discussion as to why that doesn't happen. Because the conversations in Mamak's, you know, when we're chilling with our friends, people are always asking these questions, right? Hey, why don't, like, you know, sometimes let's say you have a friend who is in the NGO and you know is doing good work and you're like, oh, if only you were the prime minister, if only you were the, you know, we always say that if only these NGO people are the leaders. We say that, but we don't know how to actually get that. Why is it not the case, you know, where NGOs and all these civil societies, these geniuses and these people, like you said, with the best of intentions and the purest of hearts, and they are not there for power, they're not interested in money, and they're doing it to develop the nation. Why aren't they in positions of leadership?
So you're really getting to the heart of the matter here, Dash. You know, people are conditioned to think that the only way they can become government is if you join UMNO, DAP, PKR, all these mm-hmm. kind of things. They're conditioned to think that's the only way, right? Mm-hmm. Or they join smaller parties, which again, sometimes don't have the right formula or whatever. But here's, you know, if I say it all boils down to values, then I sound like a moral teacher. People think it's a joke. You know, it's funny.
No, you're right. Yeah.
But I believe it does. It sounds naive. You know, and politicians say, you don't know what you're talking about. You're naive. As if this will carry the day. As if people vote for this. No, but I think this is nonsense. You know, you wanna debate with this. And you can go on your own life. You want to be a politician. Think it's all about money. It's all about this, about it. You go ahead. But that's not what we believe, right? Project Bangsa Malaysia is a very specific plan, a very specific view on this. Mm-hmm. Okay? So what we believe is that the whole reason politics falls apart and it's all about personalities, all about, you know, this is over-centralization of power, also goes back to Mahathir, right? The only question that matters in politics is who becomes prime minister, because that is he controls mm-hmm. everything, right? So, and then this one all becomes about money. So you see, even when you use the talk about charitable move, we talk about party hopping, people don't party hop. They're not changing one set of values like, oh, I'm no Malay now, I want to be past Islamist. There's nothing to do with it. You only change which feudal boss you want to support as prime minister. So values, ideology doesn't come into it at all, right? It has basically almost zero role to play in Malaysian politics. It's not the determining factor at all. So what we believe is that, you know, people, when they, if you try and go into politics, you get sucked up into the center of gravity and into this kind of culture, this feudal culture. So the only way you can do things differently is that if you make a change about this before you go into politics, right? So what we in Project Bangsa Malaysia believe is that the first thing a movement needs to do is to set a strong, solid, unshakable set of values. Again, in this, I learned from the ABIM people. I've spent a lot of time with them, had a lot of Milos with them, eaten a lot of meat with them. What I find about that movement is that there is a true esprit de corps. You know, there's a true sense of brotherhood, shared purpose, that they all believe in a cause, they all believe in an ideology, and they put this above themselves. They believe in something bigger than themselves, right? Mm. And it's a solid, you know, it's not just like vague, a few words here that nobody really believes in, but they really have defined what it is they believe in and what it is that bonds them. And this is what Malaysia needs. This is what we're trying to do in Project Wawasan Rakyat and in Project Bangsa Malaysia. We're trying to define, and we don't do this on a top-down way. We ask people, what do you think the values of Bangsa Malaysia should be? What do you think our shared values should be? Right? And then from there, we find, you know, again, if you believe there's more that unites us than divides us, what is it that unites us? So we have to be clear about that. We have to set a clear set of values, a clear set of ideologies, and then only you have a movement that can withstand all these temptations of money, these vagrancies of politics and all this nonsense. Only if you have a core set of people who trust each other, who believe in each other, and who believe in a set of higher principles and values, only then can you build a government that is of integrity and of value. Lah. So that is what we're trying to do. We are working on building that first. Before we talk about wanting to go in contest and all that sort of thing, this is you don't put the cart before the horse, right? You build the values first, and then you build the movement to make it happen.
Now, you brought up Mahathir a couple of times, and Tun M is someone who he seems to believe that it's not possible to achieve this Bangsa Malaysia, you know, identity, because according to him, you know, the races in Malaysia still want to hold on to their own mother tongues and their countries of origins, and all of this is like preventing Malaysia from being Bangsa Malaysia. And he thinks that, you know, Malaysia is, you know, Malay, Chinese, Indian, as you brought it up earlier. And he's very focused on racial politics. That has been Mahathir's whole entire political career is built on racial politics, you know, to a certain extent. How do you respond to this?
You know, Mahathir, you know, is a smart guy. I deeply admire his persistence. This guy never gives up. But I really, really am tired of his cynicism. No, he spent his whole career berating Malays. Oh, you know, Mahathir says Malays are lazy, Malays are this, they cannot do this. He's just sarcastically always undermining them. What is the point in that? You know, life is a lot about what you choose to believe. You know, you say, you know, can Malaysia be united? Can it not be Malaysia? Can Malaysia not be united? This is like asking, is there a God? You can't really prove this using science or things like that. It's a question of faith. Right, and he chooses to believe that Malaysia cannot pass a certain kind of a way, and I choose to believe that Malaysia can. He believes in a unipolar party, one big strong Malay party, and then the rest kind of just follow. Right? That's his vision, because in his mind, that's the only thing that works. Right, so I choose to believe that Malaysians can be united. Right, they can go beyond race and religion. You know, the only reason we're so obsessed with these ridiculous ideas of race and religion is because we've been dominated by race-based parties. You know, it's like a question of like, if the only tool you have is a hammer, then every problem starts to look like a nail. So if your party is always a race-based party, then every problem also you see in the racial terms, this is what has been holding us back for decades now. So this is what we're trying to do. Like, we're not just want to imagine in a mama's soul, we want to imagine it, describe it, and we want to build it. So we talk about nation-building organization, and this is what we're trying to do.
So let's talk about that a little bit more in detail, because we've talked a lot about the problems, you know, of the political landscape in Malaysia, the overall political consciousness of society and wanting to build a nation from the ground up. So what are the programs that Project Bangsa Malaysia does to address these problems? How do you all come up with this program? So what is your sort of execution plan, and what do you all usually keep in mind when coming up with these programs?
So our guiding principle usually is our VIP, right? Our values, impact, and policies. So values is a lot about, again, defining those values, and again, not from a top-down way. So for this, we have, this is very simple, we call it City Dialogue Bangsa Malaysia. We've been organizing almost every night, right? We talk to Malay groups, Indian groups, Chinese groups, Sabahan groups, Sarawakian groups, right? You know, Orang Asli groups, you know? So we're trying to get their sense of what does Bangsa Malaysia do? What is the Bangsa Malaysia they want to see? Right? Because we believe this must be a consultative project. And this is about imagination. You know, what is the nation that we want to imagine? And what are the values that we believe unite us? Okay, so then on the impact side, now we don't want to be an organization just talk. Like, this is a waste of time, right? So we want to have on-the-ground impact. So again, you know, this weekend, tomorrow at 11 o'clock, we're doing a full-day live stream. We put out a target of 3 million. Don't know if we can do it. It depends on you. Please help. Please join us. Please donate. You know, so, and this will go to NGOs who are helping on the ground, who are stocking food banks, who are going house to house, giving out food, trying to make sure people can survive this NCO, right? So we believe in, you know, and then this is we also believe in joint projects. So like Abim worked with Dong Jong, with a few other, you know, Tamil foundation, things like that. They had a Camp Muhibah, right, where they bring kids from Chinese school, Abim school, Tamil schools to come together for a weekend. You know, so these are on the ground impact projects. Okay, and then we talk about policies. Right, so what we want to do is we want to have a policy bank. A lot of policies in Malaysia are basically done on political interests or tauke interests. Lah. Who knows, somebody can profit. I mean, like, we had Genting Highlands, the casino, open during the pandemic. What kind of policy is that? Right, so we want to ask the question, like, what if the best minds in Malaysia came up with a set of rakyat-centric, truly rakyat-centric politics policies? What would that look like? Right, so we want to create a policy bank. We're already working on that. And more urgently, we want, again, in that same spirit of policies, we want the experts to create for us an emergency action plan to get out of COVID, right? On the health sector and also on the economic sector. So these are the kinds that I think, and this one we'll hear about it hopefully within this week. And again, if we have to organize mass protests, a mass movement behind it, you know, bursary scale or bigger, that's what we're gonna do. So that's how we make these things a reality. Like, we don't believe in thought. We don't believe in waiting for politicians. We want to do, and this is what we're trying to do.
You brought up, I think, emergency action plan that's happening tomorrow at 11. Is it? How can people watch it?
So sorry, the tomorrow is the live stream Derma Kilat Rakyat.
Okay.
So this is an old school telethon. So it'll be quite a few hours, maybe 11 to about 4 or 5, about 5, I think. And we'll have performers, people like Ultimate, Bon Pelare, Azmi Juno, they'll be performing. We have people like Santokh Singh, we're coming to give a few words, sports legends and things like that. Yeah. So, but basically, it'll be a day long. People coming together to try and help one another. That's the main thing, right? So, just tune in as long as you can. There's a donation link is sina.tv/donation. We're working with Sina Harian on this to help with the finances. There are so many people that are, again, on the brink of, empty bank accounts and things like that. But there are also so many people doing good work to try and feed these people, right? And, we've got people in our group who very bravely just give out their phone numbers to the public, and people who are poor, they just call them and they're flooded by these calls, these WhatsApps, I have no more money, my baby cannot eat, and they're trying their best to help, but what they need is money. So that's what we're doing tomorrow. The emergency action plan is something, it's another project that we're doing, and this one hopefully we'll announce early next week. But again, this is a civil society movement that wants to champion a plan done by experts to really, really solve the COVID problem, and take it as seriously as it should be taken, not have our ostrich head buried in the sand kind of thing. It's very, very worrying.
On that note, Nat, many of us can be pessimistic about Malaysia's future sometimes, right? Given how polarized we can be sometimes, not sometimes, a lot of the times, especially across racial and religious lines, like you mentioned, because of a lot of times it is because of these political parties who are seeing everything through this lens. But you actually run programs to empower civil society, to come together as one Bangsa Malaysia. Are you hopeful, genuinely hopeful about our future?
Nobody in my line of work does this kind of work if they don't have hope. It's really totally pointless exercise, right?
Yeah.
But again, this is a matter of faith, right? You watch The Life of Pi, you read The Life of Pi, this is kind of the essence of that story, right? What you choose to believe. I can't give you data, statistics, studies that show Malaysians have a bright and hopeful future and Malaysians come together. There's no, this unique. I don't work on that basis. I work on the basis of what I see in my life, right? And the work that I have done with my colleagues, in the bonds that we have built, the work that we have done, in the work of my team, right? The really young Malaysians, the people who are doing the live stream Derma Kilat, the people who have been with me for months. The youngest one is a kid who's 18 years old. He's 18 years old and he's done more for Project Bangsa Malaysia than anybody else alive, right? Mm-hmm. Right? And it's a multiracial group, people from Sabah, Sarawak, they're putting in the hours that they put in, to make a change.
Yeah.
Because they also believe that we can do better. That is my inspiration. That is my hope. And, as long as there are people like this, I guarantee you we can do better.
Now, as we wrap up our conversation, do you have any social media pages you'd like to plug? How can people keep an eye out on all the projects that are coming from you guys?
I believe the Facebook and Instagram is Project Bangsa Malaysia. Twitter is P Bangsa Malaysia. We're having a website. It's not up yet, sorry, but it's bangsamalaysia.my. That's the best way to keep in touch with what we're doing. Our YouTube channel as well. So yeah, stay tuned. And then please do come tomorrow, 11 a.m. It'll be streaming on facebook.com/projectbangsamalaysia. So that's our social media. Thank you.
On that note, Nat, thank you so much for speaking with me today and keep up the great work.
Thank you so much, Dash. Really appreciate it. Take care, man.
That was Nathaniel Tan of Project Bangsa Malaysia. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can check out the podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Dashan Johan, and this has been Good Things, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.